Hi, this is Mariana from The Soaked Lamb.
This is Afonso Cruz from The Soaked Lamb.
You're listening to The Raven and the Blues on Talk Radio Europe,
Radio Napa and Kansas City Online Radio.
The special Raven and the Blues, a band from Lisbon in Portugal called the Soaked Lamb, or as they would call it, the Soakhead Lamb, named after a dish they all had every time they got together to rehearse. And a track from their album from 4 years ago called Hats and Chairs, that's the album title, and it's called Blue Voodoo. The reason why the programme is special is that it's all from one location. That's the FMM, Festival Musical Mondial in Sinje in Portugal, where I was in July of this year. And I really went because of Angelique Kidjo, because she was headlining. But I've been going fairly regularly for some 7 years. As to why I go to a world music festival, let's go back 7 years and go to the beach of Sinje, which, if you want to try and locate it, is halfway between Lisbon on the coast of Portugal and the Algarve on the edge. And it's in an area really where there's no tourism at all, apart from this rather pretty town and a fabulous castle where Vasco da Gama set sail from. And 7 years ago, in July, I headed off out there.
Close enough.
That is wonderful.
Music.
Oh, what a joy this is. The reason why the Raven and the Blues this week, week 30 of 2007, 27th of July, and now about 20 to 8 in the UK and also on the eastern seaboard of the USA for Skybird Radio. The reason why we've been doing this whole show from Sinje in Portugal is because somebody came to our studios last year and did a wonderful session, and his name was Harry Manx. I checked up to see if Harry was coming to Europe and found he was only doing two European dates this year, one in France in October and then one in Portugal in Sinje in July. We looked at the festival and thought, we have to come. And we've been here a week and it's now closing the programme, and so good to have you here, Harry. It's welcome.
Thanks very much, Dave. It's a pleasure to be back on your show again, and it's good to see you can mix your business and pleasure here in Portugal.
I'm not quite sure for you guys. I've spoken to a lot of people so far on the programme. It does seem you might get a chance to also relax through this festival as well.
Yes, that's true. It is pretty laid-back scene here. They have a great lineup of world music here, and I'm glad they've seen fit to include a little blues here and there too.
I think they have blues almost every year, and also your blues transcends so many boundaries anyway that it's not strictly blues, is it?
Yes, I suppose. And blues, it's good to see the blues is world music over here, I guess.
Yes, very much so. And you saw a little bit of Lula last night, who was on the program earlier.
Yes, wonderful.
And she is Portuguese blues, effectively.
Yes, that's true. I also think of fado music like that as blues. Yes, very much.
But it does seem a long way to come. There's you and the guys, and you've thrown 8,000 miles or something for one date to then fly back again.
Yeah, the organizer of this festival, he saw me play in Montreal a few years back, and he's wanted to have me over for a while, so he's made offers a few times, and finally we could get it going this time. And I'm glad to get a chance to play as much as I can in Europe. I feel good over here. I see that they have a great appreciation once you cross the big water. There's a wonderful appreciation for blues and that kind of music.
You've got the big stage as well. The early session, 7:30, sun going down,
yes.
15,000 people out front. It's going to be quite something.
Wonderful.
How many people are with you? Are you with a band, or is it just
no,
you?
No, I'm standing up there alone tonight.
Right.
And I've done that on occasion. I've had the occasion to be in front of a few big crowds. It's funny, I do collaborate every once in a while. I have a harmonica player, or recently I've been playing with Kevin Bright from ex-Nora Jones, Cassandra Wilson band. And we've been doing a guitar duo, and that's been going great guns. But I do like to get back to where it all started, which is just me and the guitar sometimes. Yes. And I think people like that maybe as much as my collaborations.
Well, you saw you saw Trelog last night,
who was
on the program a few minutes ago before you,
and
the effect he had on the audience.
Oh,
yes.
Wonderful.
The audience, it does seem almost in Portugal that they are much more receptive, or the response from everybody has been so good.
Yeah, it has a lot to do with what the musician is putting out. I mean, he took them somewhere else with that kind of music. When I see a band like Trelog's, I always have the urge to have a band because there's so much you can do with a lot of people.
I think he's a tough band. Speaking to him today, he seems like a fairly hard bandmaster.
You know? he would be, because he's a great player, and he probably doesn't track much nonsense there.
We're in the final 20 minutes of this week's Raven and the Blues, and you've agreed, thankfully, to play live as well. So we're sitting out here on the beach on this sort of afternoon, and it's just so good. So what are you going to play for us to start with?
Well, I've come across a couple of Charlie Patton songs lately that I really like, and I've been playing those. I had the opportunity to play at a Charlie Patton festival, which happened in New York City a couple years ago, and that's where I got into his music. So I'm going to take one of his tunes and play it on the Mohan Veena, the Indian slide guitar, for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I can't go down. Oh, that road by myself. No, I can't go down. Oh, that road by myself. Carry my high brown with me. I'm gonna carry someone else. Down my spine. On the beach in Sinj in Portugal, they heard Harry Manx, and that's what started it all off some 7 years ago in July. It was amazing because all the backstage crew gathered around and it was just total silence while he played. We loved it so much. Sinj is a rather special place. It's really worth going to as a festival. It's just so well organised. And we went every year thereafter for the next 3 or 4 years until 2010 and didn't go back for a while. And it wasn't until I saw Angelique Kidjo was headlining for this year, I thought, well, I really must go back and just see if it's the same. And it wasn't quite so much in the way of blues artists as it hasn't been for a few years. But again, a great range of music, some fabulous music. Trouble is that many of the acts come from other parts of the world where English is not their mother tongue, of course. And English not is even their second language. And so I met some great people there, interviewed this next band, for instance. I had a long chat with them, but it makes for uncomfortable radio because they're from Burkina Faso in Africa. Their name is Deba Demba. And so I asked the question in English, the only language I've got. It was translated into French, which is the language that they had. They replied back in French, which then was translated into English. And it lost something. I've got the interview, but it doesn't sound quite right. So rather than play the interview, let's just play the band. Out of Burkina Faso, Deba Demba, and here they are with Souleymane. Thank you.
sabor na moina. Balimang yung manos, hindi yung manong teni yung olu, jen yung olu, olu lori. Balimang yung manos, hindi yung manong teni yung olu, jen yung olu, olu lori.
Raven and the Blues, coming to you from the World Music Festival in Sinj in Portugal, and day two for me. Last night was absolutely amazing in terms of the music and also the vibration in the castle and the mood in the castle, and today looks like being equally exciting. And I'm with a lady who is going to be on around about midnight tonight, and that's Melissa Lauro from I'm going to say from Canada, but it's not really from Canada anymore, is it?
Well, now it's from Paris, so by way of Canada. I was born and raised, born in Montreal, raised in Ottawa, Canada, from Haitian parents, and I've been living in Paris, France for 6.5 years. It's funny because for a long time I told my friends, I'm moving to Paris, and they thought Paris, Ontario.
Why Paris? Because that is the hub of all the sort of the world music scene.
It is, actually. I think that my label is already in tune with that that scene, because a lot of the artists that they have are heavily rooted in the genre, and so they already had a lot of world music acts, or more they were interested in people meeting each other. Mm-hmm. So a lot of East meets West, North meets South, and I thought it was very surprising when my label contacted me on MySpace to get me to sign on, and then I found out that they were just interested because they thought you don't need to have a duo. You're a duo. You're a mix of northeast, southwest, all on your own because of your roots and the way you play and you're singing in different languages. And they thought it was interesting.
And then we come to the new album, which came out last year, and a marked difference between that and the first, I think, is that obviously because of your 6 years in Paris?
It's partially because of 6 years in Paris, but also because I'd always listened to music from all over, and I listened to a lot more amplified music, a lot more electronic music. I listened to drum and bass and trip hop from the UK.
Yes.
In love with Bristol. I'd always had these in mind, but I never had the opportunity to perform any of the stuff because a lot of it. I couldn't perform because it wasn't within my range in terms of what I can, what I know how to play. I know how to play guitar, I know how to play ukulele, but I didn't know how to play electric guitar for a long time, and that I had to teach myself for a little bit. And it's different. It's a different instrument. It's a different handle that I have on the instrument as well. Like, I've had to rethink of the way I play as well. It's not that these ideas in terms of arrangements weren't in my head, but I needed somebody else to sort of, somebody more skilled in arranging, because I'm not really skilled in arranging, somebody more skilled in arranging to polish off what I had in my head. And I would bring, the way the recording session would work was that they would have a demo of a song that I'd recorded, me on guitar with my drummer, who's playing tonight, actually, the same drummer. And then the producers would, and I would bring them the demo, plus a bunch of CDs that I had references, like a pile of 10 CDs. And then they would have their ideas, and the producers also played on the album. So the keys, another drummer, and another bassist. And we'd all come together.
Is it the album that you expected?
No, not at all. I remember the first song that I worked on ended up being the single, the main single, and that ended up being such a jam. It was just I was gonna start playing the song, and then one of them started playing the drums on it, and then everybody started pitching in, and then we jammed. And then after a while, we were like, "This is perfect. We have to record it right away. We have to record it right away. Roll the tape." So I felt very natural, and so I knew that even though it would never end up the way I would have it exactly in my head, that the intent would be there,
yes,
and the arrangements and the skill level would be there, because they're amazing. the producers I work with.
It's been a joy meeting you, Melissa. I'm looking forward to seeing your set tonight. Thank you so much for your time on The Raven and the Blues.
Thank you very much.
From FMM in Singe, the World Music Festival. And one of the joys of coming down to it is having first of all looked at the artists you recognise and know, you then look at all the others you don't recognise and know. And one going through the YouTube videos leapt out at me, and that's Anthony Joseph, because although he only lives in London and therefore quite close to me, is a person I know whose work I'd never seen before, but was entranced by his poetry, his style and his rhythm. And he's here at the FMM. From Trinidad originally, but always a poet, or is it something you aspired to?
No, I think always a poet. I think, you know, it's controversial, but I think poets are born. I think you're born poets. Or if you're not born, you become a poet very early in your life, you know? And I definitely became a poet probably about by the age of three. I was, I think, already had a poet sensibility that was developed later on, you know?
And did you want to develop that into writing music, or was poetry the importance of the words the thing that mattered?
Well, you know, I grew up in Trinidad, so I didn't actually know growing up in Trinidad what a poet really was, you know? I mean, my understanding of poetry was Keats and, yeah, and Shelley and a bit of Caribbean poetry as well, but for me it was a distant world. All I knew was that I was writing these words, you know, I was writing these rhymes, or I was writing these songs that I thought were songs, but which were actually poems, you know. So it's something that I became rather than I aspired to, you know.
And did you leave Trinidad to further that, or was it just some other things which made you leave the country of your birth?
No, I did leave Trinidad partly to do that, you know, but at that time, as a young man, all I wanted to do was to be in a band and play music. Mm. As a lot of young men do at, you know, 18, 19. Yes. So that was my idea, quite a naive idea. I'm going to go to London and become a rock star. And then after about a couple of years in London, I realized, but wait, you're actually a poet, you know? Mm. So yeah, that was my experience.
Why was London your destination of choice when there are many other cities which have, in some respects, I would think, a stronger poetry background in a way?
Well, yes, but London has a community and a history of Caribbean people. Mm, and that was definitely part of the reasoning behind there. Also the fact that I didn't want to go to the US. I just didn't feel that the US had anything really for me, you know. Mm. I thought the UK for some reason was more attractive for literature, for writers and poets. I think it was because of the history of it, you know, and the literary culture. It was the best choice.
When I saw the YouTube videos, which made me really want to talk to you when you came to the festival, I suddenly occurred to me that the lyrics can be terribly powerful, but poetry in a musical situation is even more powerful, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. When you combine the two, yeah, you get riches, because, you know, poetry is already the highest form of language. I think it's the highest. Concentration of language that you can find. You know, poetic language could be really moving and profound in very short spaces. And music is this other powerful tool that everything aspires to. You know, there's a saying that all art aspires to the condition of music. And, you know, everything wants to be like music and have this immediacy that music has. So when you combine that immediacy with the power of the word, you get magic, you know.
We tend to think of the songwriter as somebody who, say, writes the words, the vocalist, and then sort of gets the band together and say, OK, this is what I've written, here's the melody, here's the tune. But in your case, that's different. So do you also give the guys in the band the melody as well?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Sometimes no. Sometimes it comes by just collective jamming and we just experiment and we get something. Sometimes I have a clear idea what I want the music to do and what the melody is. Yes, absolutely. But I'm not a musician like they are. You know, they can translate my ideas into actual notes and you know, and chords and stuff. I might just hum it to them, you know.
And do you pick up the guys in your band, do you pick them up depending on what you're doing? If you see what I mean? Do you have different band members for different kinds of events?
No. I'm a band guy. I like to have a band, a steady band, that works, and that's it, you know.
Yeah. And so they know exactly the way you're thinking and reacting, and then respond to you.
Yeah. It takes a while. It takes a few months, and then we gel, and yeah, and that's where we are with this band now. We're beginning to gel and really form, come together.
How long have the band been with you?
This band is a new band, actually, because at the end of last year I disbanded the Spasm band that I had for like 10 years.
Yes.
This band is a new. This band was from January, February this year. So about 7 months.
Was that because you were changing? As you were changing, your writing is changing. As you felt the band needed to change too.
No, it was because of the album. The new album that I released in January was produced by Michel and Dego Cello, and the instrumentation was completely different to the other albums with the Spasm band. So I changed according to the instrumentation. You know.
It's been a joy to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time. If people want to find more about you, you have a website. Tell us where for people to find more about you.
Oh, yeah. The website is www.anthonyjoseph.co.uk. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm everywhere. Yeah. If a father kills his own son in self-defense, then sets the bones in a calabash board, the bones will turn to fish.
And if the bowl breaks, the water will fill the valleys, make rivers of streams, make lakes of waterfall, roots in the sky and branches in the sea.
But your divinities and cosmology, in Ifa there are similarities.
And there were Ptolemaic totem heads and pyramids, an African cotton that was found in the pre-Columbian Caribbean, which must have traveled by sea. Whether Aborigine or Asiatic black, these islands were traveled on long before the 5th century. And in that once upon when the world was flat, everyone could see each other, so there were no secrets. And anything set sail from the Gambian coast or from the Senegalese was bound to drift to the Americas eventually. They knew that if you threw a stone from Sierra Leone, it would bloom into islands. They knew the sea. So they traveled by reed to reach the Haitian coast, seeking the gold in the rivers and the nicotine. There is evidence to suggest that they were searching for that paradise of the West in the times of Rameses. Because we find their footprints in Haiti. In Jamaica, we find words of their tongues. We find their breastbones in Trinidad, bone dry fetish of rainforest and fragments of spaceships in Peru. And many years later in 1492, Columbus set sail for Japan. But instead, he found the caciques of the Bahamas sitting in a cipher smoking pipes. 1502. There came ships from a distance to a landfall in Mexico. What could you carry but your divinities and cosmology? In Ifa there are similarities. The Zemi of the Taino, for instance, were like loas of turtles and snakes. The Araraks also had spirits which took on human shapes. Like the great gods of Guinea, distorted faces, mythical creatures with elbows on the knees. This is our lineage. The sea holds us here, saves us from falling off the side of the earth. The more we change is the more we stay the same. Sometimes we spew ourselves up, but underneath laughter can be heard. The struggle continues to define a space, to make this place our home, while the diaspora unravels like a broken necklace. While the diaspora unravels like a broken necklace.
FMM, Festival Musical Mondial in Sinj, the final light. The reason why I came all this way to Portugal, not only is it a lovely festival, but also the headlining tonight is Angelique Kidjo, who I was really hoping to have a chat to, but sadly, she's not doing interviews. But opening up this evening, another blues artist or blues band, this time homegrown from Lisbon. They're called the Soaked Lamb, and I managed to get three of the six-piece band on the outside of the battlements of the castle before the evening event to have a chat about their music and their latest album. From left to right, we've got Marianne Lima, who's on vocals and saxophone, Alfonso Cruz, also on vocals and guitars and banjos, and finally, Gito Lima, who is on bass. If we go back to the band's beginning, some 8 or 9 years ago, you were then playing the original roots of the blues, is that correct?
Yes, more than today. At the beginning, we were playing a more blues, or at least with more blues influence from the pre-war blues. Mm-hmm.
Is that because you all had a love for that particular genre?
Yes, because it's not the same as the, for instance, Chicago blues, because you don't solo that much. You have a composition, and it's not always the same composition. Not always the 12 bars and all that thing. And we love that. We love the idea of composing a song and playing not only for the improvising part.
So that was your first album, going back to 2006, is that correct?
Yes.
And then, so for the second album, you changed and moved on?
A little bit. We added other influences like traditional jazz, and in the third album also some traditional music from all over the world, like a popular Mexican song or something like that.
Is that because it's a kind of an organic thing, if you see what I mean, which is growing naturally, or did you feel the need to push and progress?
I guess it was natural. I don't know, but we all love some kind of different kinds of music, not only the blues and jazz, but then we felt like it would be nice to add some other influences, especially songs sang in Portuguese, which didn't happen in the first two albums.
So, if we move now to the present day, the band bears a resemblance to how it started, but there are some changes. And also tonight you have an extra brass section with you tonight as well, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, that's correct. It's a surprise, actually, for us as well.
Well, they're on the show schedule, so therefore we know they're coming, so you must too.
Yeah. But it's the second time we're going to play with this section, mm-hmm. And yesterday was the first time.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I say it will be a surprise for us as well.
Yeah. So what gave you the idea for bringing the Screaming Sheep in as the brass section?
They actually took part in our last recording, our last song recorded. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really thought that they would still be playing with the band, or they will add this section to the band, but since this was a special festival for us, the idea came and they accepted, and it was very nice. So they're not part of the band, but they will be tonight.
It's going to be quite, I mean, the castle will be full tonight, so we'll get about 6,000 people in front of you. It's quite an event to play, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I think it's the biggest thing we've made, so mm-hmm. we are very happy. And excited, I think.
And nervous.
Nervous because of the stage and the size of the venue and the imposition of it all, or
everything together, all together. It's a very good festival, and it's a big responsibility, I think.
It's also a festival with very, very good sound. Yeah, I go to many festivals across the world, and the sound here and the lighting here is beyond real. I mean, it is so, so good. So you will sound wonderful tonight, you know.
And they're all the renowned musicians playing too, so it's...
And if people want to learn more about the band, is there a website they can go to get everything and also buy their CDs as well?
You may check our Facebook, mm-hmm. and you'll find videos also in YouTube, and if you Google it, you'll find it.
And are you on the places like iTunes and places like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, have yes. digital files to buy, yeah.
Good, it's all available too.
Yeah. CD Baby and iTunes.
Yeah. There'll be links on the Raven and the Blues page, of course, as always, so if you didn't get the name exactly, because it's an unusual name. Comes, I believe, from where you met, is that correct?
No, it's kind of a literal translation of a Portuguese dish, which is a lamb stew, but right. We call it in Portuguese, if you translate it literally, it would be a soaked lamb.
So it could have been bacalhau.
yes.
Yeah, it wouldn't have sounded so good. No. Thank you so much for your time on the Rave of the Blues.
O espinho não magoa. espinho não magoa a flor. Eu só errei quando juntei minha alma à tua. O sol não pode viver ao pé da lua. É no espelho que eu vejo a minha mágoa, a minha dor e os meus olhos rasos de água. Eu na tua vida já
track written in Brazil, a Brazilian original, off their album Evergreens from last year. The band from Lisbon, Portugal, The Soaked Lamb and A Flor e o Espinho, A Flower and a Thorn. And that's it, almost, for The Raven and the Blues from FMM Festival in Sinjin, Portugal. Why do I go? Well, a whole range of reasons. One is the weather. It's absolutely perfect, of course, but it hasn't got the heat, the unremitting heat of, say, the Mediterranean in July, because it's got the Atlantic coast. You get the fresh breeze off the sea, so it's lovely and sunny, but never too hot. The atmosphere in the festival is great. Everybody grins and smiles. All ages are there as well, from seven-year-olds right up to grandparents and things. It's right in the heart of the town, and the whole town get involved for all kinds of reasons. And because there's virtually no accommodation, everybody's camping virtually or sleeping on the beach. How does everybody get fed? Well, unlike other festivals in UK where you get ripped off by things, what they do there is they invite every youth organisation, every church, everybody who wants to cook. They invite them down and have a tented city on the beach. And there maybe must be about 30 or 40 different organisations side by side with barbecues, cooking food of different types, Portuguese influence mostly, but Brazilian bits are in there too. And it's all unbelievably reasonably priced. I was going to say cheap, that's the wrong word. The beer for the festival is given to one brewery on the condition it's a certain price. So the beer is like €1.10 for all the beers. And it's everybody just grins. And the final thing about festivals normally is you have to sort of say, well, how do I organise my life? It's bad enough at Hebden Bridge and even worse at places like Köln and Glastonbury is, you know, all these bands are on at the same time. At Sinj in Portugal, there's beach bands on the stage starting at 7:30 in the evening till about 9:30. Then you walk up the hill to the castle, and the castle starts about 9:30, 10, and goes on till 2 in the morning, and then you go back down to the beach until 6 in the morning. That's the way it works. You haven't got to make big decisions. And the whole town is full of people, musicians, street art, artists, all kinds of things. We love it there. We missed 2010, 11, and no, 11, 12 and 13, and so pleased we went back again for number 14. The reason for going, of course, was Angelique Kidjo, who didn't close the final night but was headlining on the final night, who was absolutely fabulous. They built a stage and steps into the crowd, and she walked into the crowd and just disappeared. She was so, so good. As I say, she wouldn't talk to me, but never mind, it was worth going to see her. Here she is with Wombo Lombo. Wombo Lombo. Go on to YouTube and look for videos of FMM Singe, Festival Musical Mondial Singe, and Angelique Kidjo. You'll see some of that stuff, some of her set, not the whole set, of course, and also all the other bands who are on there too. The music you've heard on the programme this week, in order from the top downwards, has been the Blue Soaked Lamb from their album Hats and Chairs and Blue Voodoo, then Harry Manx, of course, and then Melissa Laveau with a track called Postman, Anthony Joseph with a track called Time Archaeology, and then the Soaked Lamb themselves with their track, which I forgot what it was called. Oh, yeah, it was the Thorn. The Trinco and the, that's right, yes, the Flora Espino, and then finally Angelique Kidjo and Wombo Lombo. Back to normal now next week, but basically this is your extra special one, and thanks to Paolo Maestre, in charge of the organisation of the promotion and publicity for the FMM and Singe. He just does a fabulous job, and also Carlos Seixas, who books all the bands, and in fact all of the organisers. It's just a great event to go to, and if you're ever thinking I could fancy a trip like that, it really is, and we recommend it strongly. Let's close with a band who I saw at the festival. Oliver Mutaguzzi and the Black Spirits, really fine band, and a track called Hooroy. Thank you so much for giving almost an hour of your time for the rather special Raven and the Blues this week, and we're back to normal again roughly next week. Bye-bye.
Satena uroi.